Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Let it go, let it go. Let it blossom, let it go. In the sun, the rain, the snow.
Let it grow in the sun, the rain, or the snow. Regardless of the weather, a hydroponic greenhouse provides an ideal environment for growing plants in controlled conditions, free from the threat of soil-borne diseases. And when you combine a hydroponic garden with an aquaculture fish farm, well, you have a match made in heaven, a contained system capable of providing a hungry world with a sustainable, reliable source of food. I'm Glenn Moberg. The technology is called aquaponics, and today on Route 51, we look at the new Aquaponics Research Center that is the result of a public-private partnership with UW Stevens Point and its Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility in Bayfield, and also Nelson and Pade, a private aquaponics company in Montello. The Aquaponics Innovation Center held a grand opening 2 weeks ago, unveiling research that could help create a lucrative homegrown industry for Wisconsin, the world's first commercially viable walleye fish farming operation. And it is research that is threatened by one of Governor Walker's proposed budget cuts. Here to talk about it, Rebecca Nelson and John Pade. They are the owners of Nelson and Pade, and Chris Hartlib, UW Stevens Point Professor of Biology and Director of both the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility in Bayfield and the Aquaponics Innovation Center in Montello. We invite you to join the conversation. Here's the phone number, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Chris Hartlib, John Pade, and Rebecca Nelson, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Chris, let's start with you. How did UW Stevens Point get involved in this public-private partnership with Nelson and Pade?
Well, it was actually Rebecca Nelson and John Pade that approached the university. They've had an aquaponic business going for many years, and they noticed that even though they were selling systems or new farms were coming online, that there weren't educated or trained people to be employed at those facilities. So they contacted the university and said, you know, how would you like to offer an aquaponics course to help with the training?
And Rebecca, did you approach UW Stevens Point specifically because of its background in natural resources and conservation?
Yeah, that's really why the partnership is such a good fit, specifically with UW Stevens Point. As Dr. Hartlib had previously developed an aquaculture minor program, they have the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility, so they really brought a lot of knowledge and infrastructure on the aquaculture side of it. So that definitely brought us to UW Stevens Point specifically, and since then has been the platform for advanced learning in aquaponics through this partnership.
And Chris Hartlib, there was a grant that was involved with this too. Tell me about that.
Yes, the University of Wisconsin System awarded us almost $700,000 grant 2 years ago, and the main premise of it was to build an aquaponics innovation center so that we had a place for people to come to for educational training as well as to do applied research in this rapidly growing field.
And again, we had a grand opening celebration just a couple of weeks ago. John Pade, you had quite a celebration. Quite a few people turned out over that three-day event.
Yes, it was very successful, and it allowed us to showcase the new innovation center and also for others to see an actual commercial aquaponics operation as well.
Now, you had a good mix of people attending, including a representative from the governor's office, Tricia Braun from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Rebecca Nelson?
Yes, the attendance was very diverse. Tricia Braun, it was nice that she was able to attend and really see the impact of this partnership, which goes back about 5 years, that partnership in total, from when we first started working with Stevens Point now through the opening of the Aquaponics Innovation Center. So we're very pleased that Tricia Braun was able to attend and see the real result of this partnership.
And as we're about to hear, she had some very positive things to say about the partnership. And before we continue the discussion, I am going to play a feature story that ran on the Wisconsin Public Radio Network about the Aquaponics Innovation Center in Montello, its relationship with the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility in Bayfield, and that public-private partnership between Nelson and Pade and UW Stevens Point. It's grand opening day at the Aquaponics Innovation Center at Nelson and Pade. UW Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson says the public-private partnership could help feed a hungry world.
The freedom of man, I contend, is the freedom to eat, said Eleanor Roosevelt. It would be hard to overstate the importance of the work that's going on in this facility in this state.
Co-owners Rebecca Nelson and John Pade look out at the 13,500-square-foot greenhouse that combines hydroponic gardening with aquaculture fish farming, growing crops with no chemical fertilizers and a fraction of the water.
There's six different fish tanks. There's numerous filter tanks that break down the fish waste so that just nutrient-rich water goes out to the plants. The plants, as they take out the nutrients, are helping to clean the water for the fish, and that water then comes right back into the fish tank, recirculating 24 hours a day.
We can put together a system that can feed an entire village, both a protein crop and a vegetable crop.
Greens and beans and peas and things like that. We're providing the complete nutritional package that would be the ideal diet.
Nelson and Pate are raising tilapia, but that ideal diet could soon include walleye. According to Chris Hartlib, director of both the Aquaponics Innovation Center and UWSP's Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility in Bayfield.
They refer to it as a white tablecloth fish because it's served at some of their fancier restaurants. Right now, walleye that you get at restaurants or supermarkets here is all imported from Canada, and there is no commercial production in the U.S.
Hartlib's goal is to create the first commercially viable walleye farming operation in the world. Through research in Montello with a hybrid walleye his scientists created in Bayfield.
It's just a mating of two natural Wisconsin fish, the walleye and the sauger, but it shows accelerated growth, and we've been able to get it from egg to market to table in 9 months.
That's less than half the time it takes for walleye to mature in the wild.
Oh, is this ever good?
The hybrid walleye is on the lunch menu today, along with salmon raised in Bayfield and tilapia raised in Montello.
Ceviche, it's tilapia, but it's marinated in lime sauce.
The salads and coleslaw are all grown in the greenhouse. Nelson says they have local customers.
The fish and the lettuce, everything we grow in this greenhouse is sold within about a 20-mile radius. The Montello schools, Marquette County Services, restaurants, and grocery stores.
Nelson and Pate is also selling its technology to private companies in Wisconsin, Canada, and Texas. But the celebration in Montello is bittersweet, according to Chris Hartlib, because the facility in Bayfield is threatened by Governor Walker's budget cuts.
Our funding right now is slated to be eliminated, and if that happens, unfortunately, the facility will have to close.
But Bayfield's Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility has supporters in the legislature, including State Senator Janet Bewley.
That center is producing amazing results. To tell the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point to close it is not only inappropriate, it is anti-business.
And the governor's representative at the event, Tricia Braun of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, had some encouraging words.
Elevate Wisconsin's economy. We rely on our partners in both industry and academia to help realize this vision. And Nelson and Pade and UW Stevens Point are great examples of this.
John Pade says he's optimistic.
I don't believe when there is a need for something that it will be eliminated.
The legislature and Governor Walker will have the final say on that. In Montello, I'm Glenn Mobert for Wisconsin Public Radio News. And we are back on Route 51 with Rebecca Nelson, John Pade, and Chris Hartlib of UW Stevens Point. Chris, the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility, as we just heard, has been targeted for elimination. If it is eliminated, what will that mean for your dream of creating a brand new industry in Wisconsin, the first commercially viable walleye farming operation in the world?
Well, I mean, with the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility partners with private fish farms all across the state, and many of them are relying on us to pass along technology and knowledge to them so they can grow and develop this walleye industry. If we're eliminated, then all that knowledge goes away.
And you are, again, the director of both the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility and this new Aquaponics Innovation Center. If the facility in Bayfield has to shut down, what does that mean for the Aquaponics Innovation Center in Montello?
Well, I think the role of the Aquaponics Innovation Center would be dramatically decreased. We wouldn't have the staff that we need to help operate it and introduce new technology. And overall, there would be less opportunities for students to intern there. And like I said, basically a very reduced role.
When this item was one of the line items that was going to be eliminated, I talked to Chancellor Bernie Patterson at UW-Stevens Point. It took him by surprise. Did it take you by surprise as well? Did anyone from the administration, from the governor's office, talk to you about what you're doing in Bayfield, about the walleye farming, the fact that you might be creating a new industry before they targeted that for elimination?
Yeah, I mean, our mission is pretty simple, and that is that we educate students, we train the workforce, we help create jobs, we help to expand the industry and start new businesses. So when we heard the news, we were really surprised because we think that that's something that the state really wants. So it came as a big surprise to us, and we're hoping that everybody realizes it's a wonderful facility to keep here.
So nobody talked to you about it ahead of time?
No.
John Pate, as we heard in the story, you remain optimistic that the program won't be eliminated. Why are you optimistic?
Well, I think that the coverage that we have gotten and it, just from the grand opening and from shows like you have here, I think we're spreading the word that it's a necessity for Wisconsin to develop agriculture that is diversified. And I just have faith that the legislators are listening and that they will move forward favorably towards keeping this facility in place.
And as we heard, Tricia Braun, who was the governor's representative of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, at your grand opening, boy, she had some very positive things to say about the public-private partnership.
Yes, and that's the encouragement that keeps me optimistic that we'll continue to move forward with innovative agriculture in the state of Wisconsin.
Now, we also heard from State Senator Janet Buley in the story, and she says it is imperative to keep the facility in Bayfield open. Now, that, of course, is her district. She represents the area. Have any of you heard from other lawmakers about how they might vote on this? Money is very tight in Madison. There's no additional revenue coming into the coffers, and the Republicans are quite adamant about no new tax increases. Rebecca, has anybody contacted you?
We have reached out to a number of legislators, specifically in our district, and I don't have any specific feedback for you on that, but I believe that they are listening to our voicing our opinions and our support of the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility, and at this point we just hope that will help move it forward and keep the funding in place.
Let's talk about this new Aquaponics Innovation Center and how it fits in with the hydroponic and the aquaculture greenhouse that's already in operation at Nelson and Pate. Rebecca, the existing greenhouse is 13,500 square feet. That's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's a good-sized facility, about a quarter of an acre, and 4,800 square feet of that greenhouse is leased by the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point specifically for the Aquaponics Innovation Center. The rest of the facility is our new commercial aquaponics greenhouse where we produce tilapia as well as a lot of different vegetables that are sold locally. And we do that as a commercial venture, but we also use that as a platform to teach people about aquaponics, to introduce them to the technology, and really to demonstrate how this system works and how people can use it in their location, wherever that might be around the world, to grow food for their communities.
So you're spreading this knowledge to people who are students at UW-Stevens Point, and you're also sharing it with other entrepreneurs like yourself.
Yeah, we've got the classes that we teach and have developed in partnership with Dr. Hartlib at UW-Stevens Point. In addition to that, our company offers an aquaponics masterclass on a regular basis, and we've had people from 77 different countries travel to Montello for that class, as well as people from all 50 states. And attendees of that class through our partnership can earn university credit when they come here for that three-day training program.
77 different countries, did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you've heard that correctly. In fact, last week we had individuals from Hong Kong and Beijing attend our course, along with people from about 25 different U.S. states. And that's quite typical. Most of our classes will have 20 or 30 people from the U.S. and anywhere between 6 and 8 people from different countries around the world.
Into Little Bayfield, or into Little Montello, excuse me.
Into Little Montello, and it's a wonderful economic and cultural impact that we're having on our community because those individuals need lodging, they need food, they need gasoline, so there's an economic impact. But I think the greatest benefit is having people from so many different cultures come here and spend time here and interact with people in our community.
Has there been any kind of analysis done by the Regional Chamber of Commerce or any business associations about the impact of your business on things like the overall economy, the restaurants, the motels, and so on?
There hasn't been a formal analysis, but there is a general awareness of what we do. And in the community, I think a lot of appreciation for the people that we bring here and the impact that they do have.
Chris Hartlib, talk about how your students are taking this technology and bringing it to other places.
Yeah, we started teaching the aquaponics courses 4 years ago, and pretty much every year our enrollment has doubled. And this year we've got 74 students, really international. There's definitely UWSP students there, but we have them from all over the world come to take the course. From that, they take that applied knowledge. Some of them also continue with internships. And many of them then launch their aquaponics businesses right after the conclusion of the course. So it's really quite remarkable. I think Rebecca would agree. We even know that while we're teaching the course, there are some students, I think, that are actually building their aquaponic systems day by day as they learn in the course. So it's very interesting, and it certainly shows you how impactful as well as thrilling this is to see these people take this knowledge and launch new businesses.
Rebecca Nelson, how many vegetables do you grow in that facility right now in the commercial greenhouse?
In the commercial greenhouse, the main crops are leafy crops. 3 or 4 different types of lettuces. We grow kale and Swiss chard. But then we also have some diversity with tomatoes, cucumbers, kohlrabi, radishes, peppers, green beans, a little bit of everything, just to demonstrate the diverse number of things that we can grow. But on the commercial side, most growers are growing the leafy crops that I described.
And those are all sold locally?
Yes, they're all sold within about a 20-mile radius. And it's interesting when you look at the people buying it. We sell at a farmer's market, which is retail direct to the consumer. But the bulk of what we grow goes to local restaurants, grocery stores. The Montello schools purchase our lettuce, and then the Marquette County Senior Nutrition Program purchases it. And for them, it provides a more nutritious product that they know is available all year long. And also, even though the price point might be slightly higher than the field-grown lettuce, the quality is so much higher that the plated cost is less because there's nothing they're throwing away.
And, John Pade, you're growing tilapia right now. Why is that?
Well, tilapia is a warm water species, and because the plant root zone requires warm water for the plants to thrive, we try to choose fish that are comfortable in warm water, or at least in cool water, and that's the reason that most people choose that type of a fish. They also grow very, very fast, but it also demonstrates why we're excited about the technology that we're bringing down from that with trying a native fish, or a fish at least that has been developed right here in Wisconsin, and make sure that it is suitable for aquaponics production. And that expands our offerings that we're capable of doing in the variety of fish we can offer along with the vegetables.
Walleye is a fish that's acclimated to colder water than tilapia. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's cooler than tilapia. It's still close to the range where plants will thrive. And that's where crop selection can come into place, is just choosing crops that might do better in a little bit cooler water and the diversity. It would allow you to grow some cool water crops right alongside the warm water crops that we're growing with tilapia.
And Chris Hartlib, you've got 6 individual small-scale aquaculture tank setups in this Aquaponics Innovation Center, each hooked up with its own little hydroponic garden. What's the purpose of having 6 different identical setups in your research center?
Sure, because the Aquaponic Innovation Center is for applied research, one of the keys to research is replicating your results. You know, if it shows up in one of the systems and say it does well, how do you know that that's going to happen time and time again? So when we actually built the facility, we built in six of these systems so we could see those replicates to make sure that the results were true and could be transferred over to commercial systems.
And are you going to put this hybrid walleye that you created at the center in Bayfield in each of those six tanks?
Right. We're actually going to do a side-by-side comparison. As John was mentioning, we're going to put the hybrid walleye into three of the systems and then try to match them with the corresponding cool temperature plants and then run next to them the tilapia with the warm water plants and see if there's a difference in growth and see if we have compatibility between the fish and plants.
So you're looking to find that sweet spot where you can get both the plants and the walleye comfortable, and away you go. You've got the first commercially viable walleye farming operation in the world.
Yep. Sounds simple, but it's going to take us quite a while, a couple of months to find out the results. But exactly, if we can find this out, you can definitely diversify the production of aquaponics.
You know, that surprises a lot of people that we don't have walleye farming right now on any kind of a scale at all, that everything comes from Canadian lakes that you buy in restaurants or grocery stores.
Yeah, it is. We've always wondered why. It's always, you know, most people would like to see locally grown food, whether it's seafood or whether it's plants. So once we were able to get the technology there to rapidly increase the growth of these hybrid walleye for 9 months, now the industry is turning to it saying, well, let's start the production. Why do we keep importing it?
And again, this is an expensive fish, $13 a pound at least for walleye in a grocery store. People could make a lot of money growing walleye in a commercial setup.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons that the price is so high is because all of the walleye is imported. So we definitely think that there is a market for producing locally grown walleye that you could probably bring in even at a slightly lower cost and then get more people interested in eating it.
And Rebecca Nelson, how big of an industry, as somebody who's involved in a commercially viable aquaponics a company, how big could this be? And if Wisconsin could be the first in a nation in developing this kind of an operation, what would that mean for the state?
Well, aquaponics in Wisconsin is fairly well established, but growing exponentially, and that's the case with aquaponics around the world. Since we can grow a high volume of food, both a protein crop and the fish and a vegetable, in a very small space, you can set up an aquaponic farm in the outskirts of a city, in the rural areas, right in a city. And that's a huge benefit because you're producing food where people will be consuming it. So you're eliminating the long-distance transportation. In Wisconsin, the potential for aquaponics to grow into a very large industry is there. Every one of our population centers could have multiple commercial aquaponic farms supplying the fresh fish, tilapia, and hopefully soon walleye, and eliminating the import of those fish, as well as all the vegetables that we can grow, eliminating those truckloads after truckloads that are coming in from Florida and Mexico and all over the world providing that fresh produce. We can do that right here in our state year-round with aquaponics in a controlled environment.
And John Pade, Wisconsin and walleye are pretty much intertwined in our culture, in our tourism. It's what people order in our restaurants. It's hard to believe that if this program is communicated to enough people that you would have lawmakers actually voting to eliminate the program.
That's where my enthusiasm comes from. When you look at the economic impact aquaponics is already having on this state, we're installing systems from the La Crosse by the Mississippi right to the shores of Lake Michigan and Sheboygan and everywhere in between. We're actually growing an industry that is bringing in revenue to the state as a result of successful operation. We've also just expanded our operations to include a manufacturer here in Wisconsin who is actually having a hard time keeping up with our orders, and he expanded his business. And we're placing graduates from Stevens Point already into these positions at these aquaponics facilities. So I think when the full evaluation and analysis is done, we're going to see a net income in the state as a result of this industry. It's going to be pretty obvious to everyone that this research needs to continue.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We're going to open it up to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation with Rebecca Nelson and John Pade and Chris Hartlib of the Aquaponics Innovation Center, again, that's 1-800-780-9742, or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. We're going to take a short break, but first, here are the Beach Boys singing about some of their favorite hydroponic vegetables.
I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. I'm going to keep well my vegetables, cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Madison Gas and Electric, Al Johnson Swedish Restaurant, and Rittenhouse play a huge role in the success of WPR. For more information, go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
As we listen to the Hula Poppers and their not quite a hit single, Walleye, we are reminded that right now the only way you can get walleye is by fishing for it. There is no commercially viable walleye fish farming operation in the world. All the walleye you get in fancy restaurants or at the seafood section of your grocery store is wild caught in Canada. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about an effort to create a walleye fish farming industry at the Aquaponics Innovation Center in Montello, a public-private partnership between Nelson and Pade, a Montello company, and UW Stevens Point, and its Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility in Bayfield. And that facility is targeted for elimination in Governor Walker's proposed budget. With us today, Rebecca Nelson and John Pade of Nelson and Pade, Chris Hartlib of UW Stevens Point, and you can be with us too. Join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. John and Rebecca, if this research at the Aquaponics Innovation Center is successful, how quickly could you start raising walleye commercially? Why don't we start with you, Rebecca?
Well, once the research is wrapped up and we determine if it is a profitable fish choice for aquaponics, I think we have farms right now in Wisconsin that would love to raise walleye as opposed to the tilapia that they're currently raising. There's such a great interest in that particular fish in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest that many, many growers would choose that as an option because of the name recognition, because of our culture and our familiarity with walleye as a food fish. So I would say immediately we could apply what it will be researched and put that into work, into industry, and growing walleye for aquaponic farms throughout the state.
But, you know, as impressive as your facility is in Bayfield, with the demand for walleye nationwide, there's probably no way you could provide everything that, say, a national grocery store chain would need. So how would the aquaponics industry help with that? Would you need a large, huge facility somewhere, or would it be a lot of different smaller operations?
Well, where aquaponics really thrives is providing local markets. So I would envision it as many smaller aquaponic farms providing grocery stores and restaurants throughout the state and throughout the Midwest with walleye. But it will take time to scale that up to actually have an impact on the amount of walleye that's consumed. But it all starts with the research at the Aquaponics Innovation Center using the fish, the hybrid walleye that they've developed at the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility. Once that research moves forward and we can demonstrate it as walleye as a viable option, that that growth will continue immediately.
And Chris Hartlib, tell us about this new hybrid walleye that you created at the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, actually all the work that we do is in partnership with private industry. So we actually have partnered with Northside Enterprises and a Black Creek, Wisconsin, and worked with them to overcome some of the obstacles. If you're just raising walleye and not hybrid walleye, it can take up to 2 years or more for them to reach a marketable size. So our first efforts were to actually shorten that amount of time, which is we were able to accomplish with the hybrid walleye. Now what we're doing is trying to figure out what are the proper culture conditions. These fish will be raised in tanks, obviously very different from nature. So what are the conditions? What kind of light? How cloudy should the water be? How frequently should they be fed? So in our efforts, we were working, like I said, very closely with Northside Enterprises to figure out just what those ideal conditions are.
What is Northside Enterprises again?
It's a private fish farm in Wisconsin.
Okay. And this new hybrid, it is a natural mating between a walleye and sauger. These are two naturally occurring Wisconsin fish. We're not talking about a genetically engineered fish or a GMO or genetically modified organism.
Right. No, obviously we have walleye and sauger in the state, and they naturally, they're cousins to one another, so they naturally reproduce together and form hybrids. So you can catch them in the wild.
And walleye are being raised in fish farms today, but by and large, it's only to grow them to fingerling size so they can be stocked in lakes, correct?
Right. I mean, right now, Wisconsin is actually in the middle of the Walleye Initiative, which was a state-funded program to increase the amount of fingerling walleye being produced to specifically stock into lakes. That's the interest on the commercial or the recreational fishing side. And now what we're talking about here are food fish.
And they've just increased the bag limit for walleye in all the lakes in the ceded territories. It's now up to three per lake. And they're crediting this fish stocking program, the Walleye Initiative, for making that possible. But these fish in the wild, they take 2 years to grow from egg to market size. How much faster is your hybrid walleye?
Right. We can get them from egg to market size in about 9 months. And that's a lot of that has to do with natural. Whenever you create a hybrid, they tend to show vigor, which basically means that they grow faster. You can see that in lots of various animals.
When did your scientists come up with this hybrid?
Well, actually, it's research that's taken over 20 years.
Really?
Yep, there were researchers in Iowa as well as right here in Wisconsin that have been working on it. It sounds, as we talk about it, sounds kind of easy to do, but it isn't. There's many steps in order to make them compatible. And like I said, once you actually have created the hybrid, how do they hatch well or how do they feed well once they start feeding?
Let's go to the phones. We have a caller, Ray in Rhinelander, with us. Ray, you're on Route 51 with Chris Hartlib and John Pate and Rebecca Nelson.
Okay, I understand the scientific research on this. They've done a variety of different things prior to this with hog farming and caged chickens and mass farming in enclosed areas. Now, my concern about this is, could they explain what they are feeding these fish for them to gain this poundage in less time, the antibiotics, the confinement, the filtration system? There's so much controversy on hog farming and chicken farming. I know this is different from that, but it isn't. So could they explain what benefits this would be to the public as far as a eating product when there's so much interference on its natural way of living? And I'll take your comments from here.
All right, Ray, Ray, good question. John Pate, do you want to handle that?
Yeah, well, on the plant side of things, I would be happy to address that, is that the fish are cold-blooded animals, so they don't contain any of the pathogens that warm-blooded animals do. So we create this natural fertilizer that is organic in nature. So the plants wouldn't be affected at all. You would still have the same organic plant from the nutrient-rich solution that you would in any organic form of farming. And I think Chris probably can address the fish side of this equation.
Well, John, just to be absolutely clear, the plants in the hydroponic gardening system are raised on fertilizer, which is basically fish waste, correct?
That's correct.
So you don't use any artificial fertilizers or herbicides at all? In fact, you probably wouldn't need pesticides because you're growing them inside in controlled conditions.
Yes, and when you do control those conditions to their optimum in a modern controlled environment greenhouse, the plant is never stressed. so you get maximum production. And removing stress from the plant's life is very important in getting a very nutritious plant. And so it's even though we're maybe unnatural in that we're indoors in production, we're creating an environment to get a perfect, very nutritional plant that people can consume. So just the opposite could occur, is we actually end up with a higher quality plant to consume as a result of maybe some less than natural conditions of growing indoors.
And Chris Hartlib, are you comfortable talking about the question regarding the food that you're feeding the walleye? Are you bulking them up on all kinds of things that might not be natural in order to get this production as quickly as possible?
Right. I mean, we're not doing anything that different. We're feeding them commercially produced fish food, which pretty much anybody could buy. It's made by name brand companies like Purina. And we feed them that regular food. Just to address, I know the caller mentioned things such as antibiotics. There's always a lot of concern about antibiotics, contaminants, and other chemicals that might be in the system. The fact is that, you know, everybody knows that the consumer doesn't want those. So the feed manufacturers in the U.S. do not put those into the fish food. Whenever you hear about that, it's usually due to international fish farms where they have less regulations. And then in terms of filtering and the environmental impact, what we're talking about here with aquaponics, or even if you're just raising hybrid walleye, they're in recirculating systems. So the water actually never leaves the system. It just recirculates through filters and through the plants, which act as another type of filter, before it returns to the fish. So it's a very sustainable system.
Rebecca Nelson, we have heard Bernie Patterson. We heard him in the opening clip from the story that we ran at the opening of the show. He's a chancellor at UW Stevens Point, and he talks about how this technology can help feed a hungry world. What makes aquaponics uniquely suited for such an important task?
There's a number of things that make aquaponics suited to feed the world, and it's something I believe is absolutely achievable, and we will be seeing more and more of it in the next few years. I think most importantly, it's a sustainable method of farming, so it's something that we can continue doing with minimal environmental impact, if anything. But more importantly is what we're producing, a vegetable crop and a protein crop. So when you look at putting an aquaponic system in a village in Haiti or downtown New York City or in a rural community, a small town like Montella, wherever in the world you put this system, we're producing more food using less resources. So fish, vegetable crops, salad crops, that's really where aquaponics thrives, and we will see a huge impact long-term on the providing those things in communities around the world.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Aquaponics Innovation Center and the effort to create the first commercially viable walleye fish farming operation in the world. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a short break, but first, here's Pearl Bailey and Moms Mabley on their way to a Saturday night aquaponic fish fry.
Here's someone I didn't expect to meet. Pearl, what you doing down here on Rampart Street?
Well, Jackie, I'm telling you, I'm going down here and try to hop and jump at this mad fish fry.
What's that?
Have you ever been to New Orleans? Well, you can understand what I mean. Cause all through the week is quiet as a mouse, but on Saturday night they go from house to house and they're rocking.
You say they're rocking?
Home they're rocking.
Oh, I bet they're having a ball.
You never seen such a hooping and a pooping till the break of dawn.
Thank you to the businesses who help support WPR programs, including Alvarado Real Estate Group, Festival Choir of Madison, and Northern Sky Theater. Play a role in the success of WPR. Become a business sponsor. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy of Stevens Point, designing and installing solar systems, highly efficient wood boiler systems, and providing deep energy retrofits to buildings. Northwind's project portfolio is available at northwindre.com.
We want a world where hunger is no longer, where children grow up stronger every day. The right to share and all the earth can give us is everyone's, and we will lead the way.
One world, one song, sing loud and proud,
proud and strong,
bring hunger to us.
You're listening to Dionne Warwick and Joe McElderry with their anthem, To Feed a Hungry World, One Song. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we are examining a technology that could help do just that, aquaponics, the merger of aquaculture fish farming with hydroponic gardening. Our guests, Rebecca Nelson and John Pate of Nelson & Pate, a leading company in aquaponics in Montello, Wisconsin, and Chris Hartlib, a UW Stevens Point professor of biology, director of the Aquaponics Innovation Center, which opened at Nelson & Pate 2 weeks ago, and also director of the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility in Bayfield. They supply fish for Nelson & Pate, and that Bayfield facility is threatened with a shutdown because of Governor Walker's budget cuts. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. John Pate, as Rebecca was saying before the break, the technology does have the potential of playing a major role in addressing the problem of world hunger.
Yes, it does. And we have been receiving inquiries from all over the world, from island nations that don't have a soil base, where for the first time they see the potential using aquaponics for food sovereignty for their nation.
And again, you can grow fish and vegetables indoors in a controlled situation, even in areas where the climate or the soil might be a problem.
Yes, that's one of the advantages of controlled environment agriculture. Is being able to harvest 365 days a year as opposed to one or two crops a season in traditional soil culture.
And again, Rebecca mentioned earlier today, and I just find it hard to believe that you've had representatives from 77 different countries coming to your courses and demonstrations at your facility in Montello.
Yes, and that demonstrates the need for this type of agriculture when you see that much interest from around the world. We've had research scientists fly here for three-hour meetings from various points on the planet. And Rebecca and I have been speaking for over 15 years about the potential of aquaponics worldwide at conferences. This enthusiasm is there because there is a need for an alternative form of agriculture that doesn't rely on traditional mined and manufactured fertilizers.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. We have Roger in Park Falls. Roger, you're on with John Pate, Rebecca Nelson, and Chris Hartlib.
Hi. See, I was wondering, how do you heat your facility there? Do you use the water and the aquaponics to in the wintertime to keep the facility at a certain temperature?
Rebecca, why don't you take that? How do you keep the greenhouse and the production facility warm during the winter?
Well, in our case, we use both natural gas as well as wood for wood heat and supplying hot water to the system through a wood boiler. And there's a heat exchanger that then transfers that heat energy into the water of the system.
And it's also a greenhouse, so you've got quite a bit of solar energy doing natural heat, I imagine, even in the depths of the winter, at least on sunny days.
Yeah, in the wintertime, any given day in January, as an example, if the sun is out, we will naturally maintain 80 or 90 degrees in the greenhouse with no heat. But, of course, during the night, we are heating to make sure we maintain the right temperature for the plants.
Roger, was that your question? Do you have a follow-up?
I guess that answered it pretty well.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. And let's go now to Claire, in Baraboo. Claire, you're on Route 51.
Hi, Glenn. I'm such a fan of your show.
Well, shucks. And thank you.
And nobody paid me to say that. I guess I just would like to make a political comment and maybe get some follow-up answers from your guests, if possible. When is Governor Walker going to realize, with all his cuts, this is exactly the kind of thing that our taxpayer dollars should be going towards? The future. We need this kind of stuff. And all these cuts that are so short-sighted make me so angry. And how have your guests gotten around that? And how are they going to get around that in the future?
John Pate, let's start with you, and then we'll go to Chris Hartlib. How have you gotten around the fact that programs like this often aren't priorities with the governor or the legislature and often seem to come up for cuts?
Well, I think this was a perfect example of how we can control that. The general public has to be proactive and get involved with government decisions, and I believe that by voicing our opinions and expressing the need and pointing out how it's personally benefiting our lives here in Wisconsin is the path to making sure that we educate our leaders and help them understand what it is that we want from them. And I think if we all get together and voice that opinion, I really believe the system works. They will hear us and respond.
Chris Hartlib, is there a problem getting pure scientific research funded? And if so, why do so many people, and particularly politicians, not see the need for it?
Well, I think it's because they often look at it based on things which you were saying before, which is, you know, you're genetically modifying these fish, or are you, raising them, really far out there compared to natural conditions? And they have this perception. And as John just said, part of our job is we educate, not just students at the university. We have to educate the public. We have to educate politicians that, what we're doing here is agriculture. Pure and simple, and it's a good way to raise food. It's a good way to keep people employed, and these are the types of programs that need to be funded.
And you are a professor at UW-Stevens Point. You're not just being impacted by these segregated program cuts, the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility. As many as 115 positions may be eliminated at UW-Stevens Point. How are you and your colleagues reacting to that?
Well, it's tough because it's going to have a profound impact on the university. And I think in the end what you're going to see is that you're going to see it take longer for students to be able to graduate. It's going to be more difficult to keep teaching them, information about the cutting edge, which is what they should be learning at a university. So it's definitely going to have those impacts. And I think, unfortunately, you're going to start seeing the students begin to suffer from some of those as it takes them longer to graduate or not be able to get into the courses that they need for their careers.
Claire, did they answer your question?
I think they did, and it sounds like we need to be making phone calls and raising a little, I don't want to say the word.
Claire, thanks for your phone call.
Thank you, Glenn.
John and Rebecca, you've been into this now for 30 years. Did you ever think way back then that your dream would turn into something like this? Let's start with you, Rebecca.
I think John and I could both visualize aquaponics becoming an industry and really having a true impact on the availability of fresh quality food around the world. 30 years ago, we didn't see the actual path, the people, the places, but I think we were both pretty confident that when we were starting in controlled environment agriculture and then in the early 90s in aquaponics, we could see the benefit, and we definitely knew that if we manage it right, if we built an industry, that we could have an impact.
And John Pate, you grew up on was it a dairy farm?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm right here in Wisconsin. And one of the memories I have of working with my family, is what a positive lifestyle and experience that was for me. I'd like to see the family farm concept. It may be slightly modified with the vision of aquaponics, yet aquaponics can provide an income that you can send the kids to college on. I credit that to the controlled environment. I always remember when my father or grandfather used to look up at the sky and comment on how we could make money in agriculture if we could only control the weather. Well, now we have a modern controlled environment greenhouse where that's actually possible.
Chris Hartlib, assuming that funding isn't cut for the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility and the Aquaponics Innovation Center, what's next for you?
Well, we've got lots of other species of fish we're working with as well. We've got a blossoming Atlantic salmon program where we've been heavily involved in Arctic char, as well as fish such as yellow perch and bluegill. So we've got lots more fish to work with and try to adapt them into the aquaponic setting.
Lots more fish to fry.
That's right.
Thank you all for being with us today.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby, don't don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe?
We want to thank today's guests, Rebecca Nelson and John Pade, owner of Nelson and Pade, and Chris Hartlib, UW Stevens Point Professor of Biology and Director of both the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility and the Aquaponics Innovation Center. You can find out more about Nelson and Pade at aquaponics.com. You can find out more about the Aquaponics Innovation Center at uwsp.edu/aquaponics. You can find out more about the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility at uwsp.edu/aquaculture. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Eric Clapton, the Beach Boys, the Hula Poppers, Pearl Bailey and Moms Mabley, Dionne Warwick and Joe McElderry, and Hank Williams. Next week on Route 51, we continue today's theme with our annual garden show as we welcome back to our Wisconsin Public Radio studio two Portage County master gardeners, Nick Schultz and Lynn Kane, with advice for growing vegetables, flowers, shrubs, and trees for our inclement northern climate. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.
No more looking. I know I've been cooking. How's about keeping steady company?